Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media sites that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message. I'm just going to get right into it today. How many, by a show of hands today, would say, I need a miracle? Okay, quite a few. I need a miracle. I believe that the Lord's going to do a miracle today in your life. The problem is, we rarely believe that God can do what he says he's going to do. That I need a miracle, Lord, but I don't think you can really give me the miracle that I need. Or we have faith for other people's miracles, but we don't have faith for our own. God is in the miracle working business. I've seen him work too many times. Let me straighten this out a little bit, get that ring out. I've seen him work too many times to not believe that. There's a story in Scripture where Jesus goes to this wedding feast, and we're going to read that today. That's going to be our primary text for today. And I want to read that text to you, and as I read it, we're going to see a little pattern forming here in the miracle. And God works in pretty much every miracle you see in Scripture this way. You're going to see a little pattern that happens. The first thing is you need desperation. There needs to be a need for a miracle. Why is he going to perform a miracle if there's no need? Pretty simple. The second thing we see in miracles is there's always some kind of cooperation with it. God usually asks his people to be a part of the miracle in some way. Why he does that is beyond me. I wouldn't choose me to do anything, but he chooses us to help. And then also, in every miracle, there's always a revelation, a deeper revelation of who God is. And so we're going to see that in this passage. And so would you stand with me while we read it? It's John 2, 1 through 11. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. If you got it, say you got it. If you need time, hold up. If not, it's on the screen. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem." I love Jesus' response. "That's your problem. You should have bought more wine." But I love Mary's response. Because Jesus says, "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Moms always get their ways, don't they? Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And when the jars had filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of the ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it came from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. Then everyone who has had a lot to drink, then he brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now. The miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Father, we need a miracle. Sometimes there is no other way except for your way. And Lord, we need a miracle in this place. God, I pray that people leave here different than they came in. God, that they would have the healing they need, the provision they need, the breakthrough that they need today, Lord, because you are the miracle-working God, and you do it for your glory and for your kingdom alone. And Father, we thank you, God, that you are the miracle worker, and let us trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So we see the pattern, right? Desperation, cooperation, revelation. Those are what, that's kind of the ingredients for a miracle. There has to be a need. The problem with the need part, the desperation part is like, I always want to see a miracle, right? We're always looking for miracles. We're always looking for signs and wonders because we thought it would be really cool to see, right? I want to see that. But the problem is we never want to be in the situation to where we need a miracle, right? Many of us want to witness a miracle, but very few of us want to truly be in a place that requires one. Maybe today you're in that place. It's a bad place to be. I know. We've been there. It feels like you're stuck in a box and you can't get out and there's no way out. But I'm telling you, Jesus can pull you out of that box. He can change your life. He can do a miracle. And it's often in a place of desperation where God enters into the scene. And the thing I've discovered about the Lord, the 20 years I've been following him, is he always waits to the very last second. But he still comes. I think he waits for us to get to that part where there is no, like, all the other options are destroyed in our minds. That way, we know where it came from. It's a point of desperation. I think of Hannah, who prayed for a baby, and she couldn't have a child. And so she was in this desperate place, and in her desperation, the Lord met her and gave her a son. I think of the woman we talked about this song. She was in a place of desperation. She couldn't get the healing she needed by any other means, and now she's at this point of, this Jesus can heal, and so I'm going to take a chance, and I'm going to reach out in desperation through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. The thing about this woman is she was bleeding, and so she was unclean. We don't use that terminology in today's society. Basically, she was too dirty to go into the holy place with the Lord, and everybody she touched would be too dirty to go and pray to the Lord. Spirit, ceremonially, what they call unclean. And so she had been in this state of uncleanliness for years. She couldn't go into the temple. She wasn't allowed to go into the place of worship. But she thought to herself, I'm unclean. I have no other option but to touch this rabbi named Jesus. And by her touching Jesus would make Jesus unclean. But she broke through. She took a chance. And she had the faith to believe that God could do a miracle if she just broke through. This woman understand that faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. It takes risk to see God move. It's risky for us to see God move. Like I said, we have our part. God has his part. He's always working with us and through us. But it's only when we get a state of desperation where God can move. Here's what I know. At the desperation that was coming in this passage, there was no more wine. For many people, that's a tragedy. I think of Jack Sparrow. Why is the rum always gone? I don't drink, so I don't miss that. But if there's no coffee in my house, we need a miracle. The problem was, for these people, the party would be over. And for the bridegroom, he would look really bad because he didn't prepare for the festivities that were to come. And so there was kind of a moment of desperation. It wasn't life or death, but it was a desperate moment. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, knew the solution was in the house, and that was Jesus. And so knowing that there was a desperate situation, she asked Jesus to come in, and to do a miracle. And so there must be a need for God to do a miracle. And I believe today, I've seen miracles. I've witnessed miracles. I've seen eyes healed. I've seen cancer destroyed. I've seen marriages mended back together. I've seen miracles. I've seen provisional miracles. And I've seen them in the U.S. If you like take a percentage, it's about this much. But I'm telling you, in third world countries, you're going to see miracles. If you've ever been on a missions trip to a third world country, you're going to see miracles. Why? Because there's desperation. Yes. Cliff, who teaches our Bible study on Wednesday, he's got stories. He was in Papua New Guinea for several years translating the Bible in their language. And there wasn't doctors. Well, there was witch doctors, but there was no real doctors. And they didn't have a choice. And so they would come to Cliff to come pray for people. And he said people got healed all the time. People got delivered from spirits all the time. Like God did miracles all the time in the islands. And he's like, why doesn't that happen here? And we talked about it for a while. I'm like, it's probably because we don't think we need God. We're not in a place of desperation. I got to go on a missions trip in Honduras several years back. And as we walked into the villages, those people needed God. They had no other answer for the problems that they had. The things we find in the States, we could just go to a doctor, get some ointment, get some pills, and get over it. These people will die if God doesn't move in. I remember walking into a home and they wanted us all to come in. There's a family sitting around. There's a guy laid up. He's got his foot up. He had stepped on a nail about 4 weeks prior. I don't want to ruin your lunch, but his foot was swollen three sizes. The nail hole was infected. You could smell it when you walked in. And we thought to ourselves, if God doesn't heal this man, he's going to die. And we prayed over that man. We put our ointment that we had on him, and we hoped God for a miracle. I pray God, I mean, we kept going. I don't know if God healed his foot or not. But to them, that was the only option. And if you're in that place where God is the only option, the only desperate thing that you can do, you're in a good place for a miracle. You're right for a miracle. So there has to be a need. Second thing we see is there's something that God wants us to do in the miracle. It says that Jesus entered in, he got the guys together, the servants, and he says to them to do something. He says, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out, take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. Now, if you're one of these servants, what would go through your mind? This Jesus guy has lost his marbles. So you're telling me you want me to fill these jars with water, go to the master of ceremonies who knows his wine, and try to pass this water off for wine? I'm going to be fired. It's like trying to pass Mr. Pibb off for Dr. Pepper. No comparison. And so I can imagine these guys as they go up and they're dipping this water in, and I don't know if they see wine come, but they dip it. If they when they pour water, it turns into wine. We don't know that. The scripture doesn't say where it turns into wine. But somewhere between the dipping and the going to the master of ceremonies, the water turns to wine. But it took an act of faith for them to dip it into the water and to take it to the master of ceremonies. I can imagine the guy's like, oh, man, here's some wine. And he's drinking it, and he's like, oh, this is really good water. No. It's like, this is the best. Like, I've never had wine like this before. See, this is the miracles of Jesus. He doesn't just kind of do things. He does all things well. Amen. And God asks us many times to partner with him in the miracle. Like I said a minute ago, I don't know why, but God always uses his people. Now, could God not use us? Of course. He could have just called wine down from heaven, right? Whatever you need in your life, he could just, with this building project, he could have a meteor with a big diamond on it land in the backyard, and we'd have to fight the city off for the mineral rights, but we would get the diamond, and we could pay for this thing, no problem. But often God doesn't do that. Often God goes through us. God uses things to do a miracle. God uses simple things like people. He uses common things. God often uses the natural things of this earth to do the supernatural things of heaven. He takes natural us and he does the supernatural through us. Jesus was in the body natural, but God did supernatural things through the natural. Through Christ's body, we were saved. And in life, God will always use us, seems to be, to do the miracle. Like I said, he can do it without us, but he chooses not to because he wants us in on it. Because he's doing something in your life. God can use the natural to do the supernatural. I find it interesting that God just finds everything useful. There's a story in the Bible where Moses, he leads the people out of Egypt. They just had a great miracle passing the Red Sea, and they come to this place, and there's this pond, this pool of water, and it's called Marah because it's bitter. And the people are complaining because it's not what they want. And Moses is sitting there going, God, what am I supposed to do with these people? And God says, take a stick and throw it in the water. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? How is a stick going to make the water good? But lo and behold, Moses, he goes, he takes a stick and he throws it in the water. The water becomes clean. God used a stick to make water clean. He can use whatever you have to do a miracle. Often we come to God and we're like, God, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to give. I don't have anything useful. I don't have anything that you can use for a miracle. And God's like, just give me what you got and I'll do a miracle with it. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus is sitting around speaking. Everybody's hungry. We know the story of the loaves and the fish. This young boy has a lunch. The disciples steal his lunch, take it to Jesus. And they're like, we found this. And Jesus said, that's enough. He gives thanks for it. He breaks it and it feeds the multitude. And in your life, you may be saying, God, this is all I have to give. What's he going to say? That's enough. Because what you have is always enough when you give it to him. Yes. He uses the small things in this world to do amazing things in this world. He used a stick. He uses water. He uses vessels. In scripture, if you read all the miracles, he uses oil. He uses a staff. Moses uses his staff to part the Red Sea, to bring water out of the rock, to summon the plagues. God uses the common to do the supernatural. But you have to partner with that miracle. You have to be obedient to what he wants. It may seem foolish when he asks you to do something, but you need to do it. I just came back from a pastor's conference, and the guy was talking about a really hard season of life that he had, and he said, I was praying in my office, just the spirit of heaviness was on him. And he didn't know what to do. And so while he was praying, he felt the Lord say, roll across the room. And being like we all are, no, Lord, like, what do you really want me to do? He's like, no, roll across the room. And he's like, I'm going to look stupid. But he said, as he began to roll across the room, when he got to the end of the room, this joy hit him that he's never had before. Yes. And God sometimes asks us to do things that look foolish and seem possibly stupid, but he uses those things to do a miracle. I think of Naaman. in the Bible. He's got leprosy. He comes to the prophet and he says, how do I get rid of this leprosy? And the prophet tells him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the dirtiest river in Israel and dip in it seven times. Of course, he gets angry. He gets bitter. He's like, I can't believe that. Like, he should have just prayed for me. He should have anointed me with oil. Like, we have this idea how God should work, don't we? And Naaman goes to the prophet, and the prophet says, go dip in the river seven times. And Naaman's response was, isn't there any other clean water around here? Why do I have to go dip in this river? And he starts to storm off, and Naaman's servant says, hey, nothing else is working. You might as well do it the dude asks. And so Naaman goes, he goes and dips in the river, and I can imagine how silly he felt as he's dipping. He's like, one, two, three, four. This is stupid. I can't do this anymore. No, you need to do it. Four, five, six. And on the seventh time he comes up, he's clean. Completely, miraculously, leprosy's gone. Your miracle is always on the other side of obedience. Often God will ask you to do something seemingly impossible. When Jesus healed people, he did things that didn't make sense. He asked blind people to see. He told deaf people to hear. He told somebody who couldn't move his hand to stretch their hand out. He told the lame to get up and walk. These are things that were impossible, but yet because he asked, they did it, and they saw a miracle. One more. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus calls Peter out. They're out fishing, and Jesus asks Peter to do something ridiculous, but because Peter wants to believe that this Jesus is who he says he is, he does what he asks, and we see this in Luke chapter 5. He says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Notice his response. Master, we've worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so. If you say so. I will let the nets down again. And this time the nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what had happened, this is his response. And this is the next point. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please forgive me and leave me because I am such a sinful man. So with every miracle, there's a revelation of Jesus. I want you to think about something. Why does God do miracles? Why is that? There's a miracle recorded in Scripture of a man named Lazarus that dies. Put him in a tomb. Jesus comes, raises him from the tomb. We all know the story. But think about this. Lazarus died again. There's nobody like, Lazarus still isn't walking around. He died again. Why did he do that miracle? Yes, he loved Lazarus. But the miracle pointed to the miracle worker. And when God does a miracle, he's pointing to himself. He's revealing something about himself to us. When God does signs, wonders, and miracles, they are pointing to something. They're pointing to him. And when God does a miracle in your life, it will point to him and it will reveal something about his nature to you. I have discovered who God is through him working in my life. I know that God is my healer. I know that God is my provider. I know that God fights before me because I've seen him do it over and over again. And with every time he comes through, I get a fresh revelation of that. So what do you need from the Lord? He wants to reveal something to you. The problem we have is we often seek the hand of God and fail to look for the face of God. Many of us want a miracle just for the miracle's sake. Or we want God to provide for us, but I could care less if I know God. And Moses knew the Lord. It says in Scripture that the people knew his deeds, but Moses knew his ways. So the same people that saw the miracles in the desert knew the deeds of God. They knew God for what he did, in other words. But Moses knew God for who he was. He spent time in his presence. He knew his ways. I've been married to my wife for 31 years. I know her ways. I know the looks. I know the body language. I know her ways. She knows my ways. She not only knows my deeds, but she knows my ways. And I pray that we all know his ways. We see his deeds, but more than that, we know his ways. That we're not seeking his hands, but we're seeking his face. And here's one thing I found while following him is the more I seek his face, the more his hand works in my life. As I'm seeking him, he's providing. As I'm seeking him, he's healing. As I'm seeking him, he's the one that's making the miracle because I know it's outside of my realm. And I let him be God. When you witness a miracle, who God is becomes more clear. In Scripture, we see this over and over and over. In Exodus, the people discover that Lord is the healer. In Exodus 15, 23 through 26, it's the story about the stick I told you about where the water becomes clean. In that place, God reveals himself as someone who can heal the land and people. And then he goes on to tell them in that place, like, if you follow my ways and you do what I ask and you be my people, like I've asked you to be my people, I will make sure that none of the plagues that hit Israel, that hit Egypt, will come upon you. I will be the Lord who heals you. In the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. And if you've experienced healing in your life, you know that God is the God who heals, that he is Jehovah Rapha. And then it goes on to say, later in Exodus, that they get a new revelation of who God is. They already know him as deliverer because he took them out of Egypt. And they now know him as the healer. But in a moment, they're going to know him as the one who conquers or the one who is my banner. And so in Exodus 17, there's a story about Moses and the people and they're fighting the Amalekites. And in that story, Joshua's in the valley and they're fighting. And during that time, Moses is up on the hill and he's doing this. He's worshiping. He's got his hands up. And as long as Moses has his hands up, the people are winning. And when his hands go down, they lose. I wonder how he discovered that. Was he like? Either way, when his hands were up, they're winning. When your hands are down, you're losing. There's a whole other message in this, right? But he had people helping him hold his hands up. And there were two men on the side holding his hands up until the victory was won. And in that place, Moses discovered and the people discovered that the Lord is my banner. He is the one who conquers. He is the one who wins the battle. You need a battle won today. He is Jehovah Nissa. And in Genesis, Abraham discovers something about the Lord that we all need to know. He has taken Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him. The Lord has asked him to sacrifice his son, his one and only son, the son of promise, the one that Abraham has been praying for and asking for his whole life. And now he's old, and it seems like God is taking this away too. And so he takes Isaac up to the mountain, being very obedient to what God wants. He ties him down. He's about to strike him with a dagger. An angel stops him and says, Abraham, stop what you're doing. Like, I see now that you fear the Lord, and you're going to give everything to him. And then it says, after that, he hears a rustling behind him, and there's a ram stuck in a thicket by the horns. And in this moment, Abraham gets a new revelation of God. And he says this, Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. I don't have to sacrifice my son. God has provided a substitute for my son. Oh, do you not see what's going on here? You were the one that was supposed to be killed. And God says, no, I'm sending a sacrifice. I'm sending a replacement. Jesus was that lamb, that ram. Jesus was the sacrifice on your behalf. Jesus is the provision for your salvation, for your hope. We don't have to die because Jesus did. He took it on himself. God is Jehovah Jireh. He provides for me and for you. And lastly, every miracle that God does reveals the author more than the story. The author more than the story. There's a passage of scripture. Can you throw that up? Isaiah 41, 17 through 20. We were praying about this in staff meeting, and I brought this passage up. This passage is actually on our website, but it's on in the New Living Translation, because we feel like that's what God wants to do through this church. Turn valleys into rivers, mountains into streams, dry places into ponds, for us to give water and life to the world. And so this is really from who we are. But Rodney, the kids pastor, being the kids pastor with all the, you know, all the great details, he said, have you read this in the message? I'm like, no. And so I want to read it to you. It says, the poor and homeless are desperate for water, their tongues parched, no water to be found, but I'm here with them to be found. I, there for them, and I, God of Israel, will not leave them thirsty. I will open up rivers for them on the barren hills, spout fountains in the valleys. I'll turn the baked clay badlands into cool pond, the waterless waste into splashing creeks. I'll plant red cedar in the treeless wasteland, also acacia, myrtle, and olive. I'll place the cypress in the desert with plenty of oaks and pines. Everyone will see this. No one will miss it. Unavoidable, indisputable evidence that I, God, personally did this. It's created and signed by the Holy One of Israel. Think about this. Every miracle that God ever does in your life has his signature in it. Your life has his signature in it. He's signed by the Lord God of Israel. Signed by the creator of the universe. In our life, in this church, in the community, we pray, God, make it so indisputable, unavoidable, that it's you who did this. And in your life, I pray it's the same. In your life, that's the only place where you're going to find hope and you're going to find peace. And today, maybe you need a miracle. God wants to reveal something to you. He wants to cooperate with you in it, and he wants to meet you in your desperation. And so today, I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you need a miracle. If I can get the worship team to come up today. We're good. Lord, you do this. Father, as we pray for these people, would you just meet us in this place? Would you do it? Lord, I know it's foolish to stand up and to lay hands on people and believe that we're going to be healed, that you're going to do breakthrough, and that you're going to provide. Lord, it seems foolish, but somehow heaven invades earth in those moments, and you do what you do. In a minute, we're going to baptize. And it seems foolish, Lord, that we get in the water and somehow that changes things. But Lord, we know when we get baptized, there is an open heaven. And you are there and you are present. It seems foolish, God, when we take communion and it breaks our heart and it moves our souls. It seems foolish to think that some bread and some juice are significant, but we know it is, and we know that you're present. It seems foolish, Lord, to go to church every Sunday, to get gathered around people and expect you to do something, but Lord, you do, and we're grateful. And so maybe today you need a miracle. Today's your day. I truly believe God's going to do a miracle in your life if you let him. So let's start with this. Maybe you need breakthrough right now, and you're facing a mountain that's just too big to climb. You have obstacle after obstacle, and you can't get any headway in it, and you're at the end of your rope. Maybe it's a relationship. I don't want to fish too much. You know. This is between you and the Lord. You know what that need is. Maybe you need a miracle in that. Would you just stand? This is partnering with a miracle. All you got to do is stand. I'm not asking you to do anything else. Just stand. We're going to pray for you. Okay, all in the house. Good. You've cooperated. You're in desperation. And so now, Lord, we're going to ask for you to come into this situation. So, church, would you stand up and just put your hand on their shoulders if you have permission? Get permission first. The body's going to be the body. The body heals. This is what the Lord asks us to do. He says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If anyone's in trouble, pray. Lord, these people are in trouble. God, we pray right now, Lord, that you would meet them where they're at. God, that you would move the mountains out of their way. God, remove the obstacles in the way, God, and would you touch them? Would you reveal your nature to them and they would be just in this new place of freedom with you, God? Would you just remove the obstacles right now, God, the things that seem so big that are in the way, God? You can part oceans. You can move mountains. God, you can take people out of authority and put people into authority. God, whatever the situation is, God, you can mend it. I've seen you heal marriages. I've seen you bring breakthrough. I know you can do it again. So, Father, we just ask right now simply, Lord, would you do a miracle in these people's lives? And we thank you for that miracle in Jesus' name. Go and sit back down. Maybe today you need just a miracle breakthrough in your finances or your resources. Maybe you just need provision. You know, provision is not all monetarily. Sometimes our bodies are weak. Sometimes we're fatigued. Sometimes we need energy. Sometimes we need courage. The Lord gives those things. But you may be in a place where, like, I've lost my job. I can't get another job. I'm trying, but nothing's lining up. And God, I need a miracle. So we're going to pray for two things in this, that he would provide, but he'd also show you what you need to do. So would you stand if you need a miracle in that area? Partner with it. Partner with it. You got to partner with it. There you go. It's okay if you need prayer for all three. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. God brought you here for this. So again, let's the body be the body. Let's lay hands. We're going to pray for provision. Father God, I pray for everyone in this room, everyone watching online, God, that you would provide for them miraculously, that you would prove yourself to be Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you've provided for me, and I know you can provide for them. God, you send people along the way to help. And Lord, I pray that you would send help along right now. God, not to enable, but to empower. And Lord, for those that need just a physical miracle, God, they're tired, they're weary, they need courage, they need strength, they need wisdom. God, you said, ask and it will be given to you without finding fault. And so, Father, I pray right now, would you give them what they need? Would you be Jehovah Jireh in their moment? And we thank you for that, God. We know that you provide. I see breakthrough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and sit. Maybe you need healing today. Maybe you're in that place. I prayed for it the first service. There's stuff that you need God to break through. It could be simple things. God cares about the little things, guys. You might be thinking, well, it's just a bad foot or a bad ankle or a headache, and I'm dealing with it. Like, I've been dealing with this for years, and I'm like, well, it's just pain I go through. But I'm like, why? Why don't I ask the Lord if he can do something about that? He cares. He cares about the small things. So maybe you need healing today. Would you just stand, partner with the miracle? This is your part. And the body's going to be the body, and they're going to partner with the miracle as well. So, Father, I pray right now that you'd send out your healing hand upon these people. God, that you would heal body parts, that you would heal, God, I pray that you would just heal the internal organs right now, Lord Jesus, that they would work the way they're supposed to. God, that tumors would shrink, that cancer would die, that viruses would cease, that fungal infections would die right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No more battling with that fungus. It's done. In the name of Jesus, it's done. God, I pray right now, Father God, that you would heal bodies, that you would heal joints and marrow and bone and muscles and nerves. God, you created this body. We just ask right now that it be healed in Jesus' name. Because you love them, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. We take authority in Jesus' name. Have a seat. Before we do this baptism, I'm going to ask one last question. The greatest miracle that God can do in your life is when you partner with him in salvation. When you say, yes, Lord, I'll take that. Because Jesus died for your sins. He took your place. It's a free gift. We sang the song. It's a free gift. It's not about performance. It's not about any of that stuff. All you have to do is say simply, yes, Lord, I want salvation. I want to partner with you in that. I want to make you Lord and Savior of my life. Surrender. What's the partnership? I surrender. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. We don't want anybody to leave without having a chance to make Jesus their Lord and Savior today. And so today, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to be bold and just stand up. That's scary. But I'm telling you, when you stand up, there's going to be cheering and it's going to be beautiful. So if that's you, go and stand. Anybody? Just want to give you that opportunity. Don't want to leave here without it. All right. Okay. So Father, in that, we pray, Lord, that more people would come that need salvation. God, that we wouldn't have another service without someone giving their life to Christ. God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord. And Lord, if there was someone who still thinking about that you would just move in their heart to accept Jesus as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.